Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and I'm hosting Sunday Conversation with my trophy wife, my real, my continuing love story, Katasha Riley. She's on the way. She's a little late, but she's on the way, so we're cheering for her. Listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday conversation is called, you ready for this? Feeding the Valley. I'm going to say that again. Today's Sunday conversation is called Feeding the Valley. And today's special guest, she was recommended by my good friend, Dr. Don, is it Jenkins or Jinx?
Jenkins.
Don Jenkins. Shout out Dr. Don Jenkins, South Columbus Elementary School. Shout out Miss Don. Miss, say your name.
Jerika McCrary.
Jerika McCrary. I'm going to say that again. Miss Jerika McCrary. And she is Vice President of Poverty Reduction United Way of Chattahoochee Valley. Did I get all that right?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much, Mr. Riley, and for having me here on your show today.
Thank you for being here. So we're going to get right down to business. First question, do we have a poverty problem in our area?
Oh, absolutely. We have a poverty problem here in the Chattahoochee Valley. We can speak from a qualitative perspective where we hear our neighbors and friends and family members who tell us how they are struggling from day to day to make ends meet, to put basic needs and necessities in their homes and food in the bellies of their families. And they're working nonstop trying to hustle and bustle, and they get off one job and go find another job and try to pull in some additional hours to try to make it. And we definitely have a problem here. So from a qualitative perspective, this is what I hear from day to day, the stories of my family, my friends, neighbors. And then we look at the quantitative component and we start to see the data. And if you do look closely at the data from the American Census Bureau, you will see that 1 in 5 people in the Chattahoochee Valley are living in poverty.
Wow. Now, what is the textbook definition of poverty? What is the poverty line? I was always taught the poverty line is a number in Columbus is like 14,000. If your household make under 14,000, you're considered living in poverty. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
And this, again, when we're talking about poverty, it's such a multifaceted, multidimensional, you know, need and challenge and barrier. Right. So there are so many layers to poverty and so many definitions to poverty, and how do we develop a plan for poverty reduction. So when we're looking at the FPL, which is the federal poverty level, we see that if people fall within that 50% or 100% or 200% poverty threshold, then they the benefits that they may qualify for will fall off if they meet certain thresholds. So let me give you an example of United for ALICE. And ALICE is asset limited, income constrained, employed citizens and individuals who are working and still not able to make ends meet. So they're not making the basic budget of even paying the basic bills for rent, utilities, and just those basic needs that we need to survive. And so we're talking people who are making minimum wage, and some people who may not even be making that after tax deductions, after having to pay childcare, after having to pay transportation fees, after having to pay some of those additional components. So when you start to remove those important necessities that are critically necessary so that our lives are able to meet the needs of the day and the demands of our workload and our commitments, we're talking afterwards, there's nothing left in the budget. Even before people receive their paycheck, it's already gone. So that's our ALICE population. They're the asset limited, income constrained, employed population of people. And here in the state of Georgia, 47% of our population fall within ALICE. These are the hard workers who are the backbone of our economy, who are the backbone of economic mobility, who really make our valley go round, and they are living from check to check.
You know, that's really a shame, because I'm a little older than you, But my generation, we were always taught that if you work your 40 hours, you should be able to own a home. You should be able to have an automobile. That was the American dream. That was the apple pie. That was the hot dog. That was the Coca-Cola. That was the dream. But it seemed like the dream has turned into something else. And then when you're talking about the single mother working two jobs, now it's problematic because she's working two jobs. So now who is raising the kids? The streets. And so now, along with poverty, now you have crime because mother is trying to put food on the table. She's trying to keep the lights on.
Absolutely. The American dream for many people have become a nightmare in a sense due to working to barely survive. But we want to support people with elevation and to thrive beyond survival. So we want to help them to, you know, have access to economic mobility. So what we do at the United Way of the Chattahoochee Valley as Vice President of Poverty Reduction, my role is to work with the Chattahoochee Valley Poverty Reduction Coalition to lead a coalition of stakeholders so that we can come together to have that higher conversation of comprehensive thought process, to build framework so that we can establish an infrastructure that can help us with boosting the economic mobility within our community, with promoting health accessibility and healthcare across the continuum, and also promoting educational equity because we understand that true knowledge, real knowledge, authentic knowledge is power.
Well, go ahead on then, sister. Now, you mentioned poverty reduction. Exactly what is poverty reduction?
Poverty reduction, again, it's a multifaceted, problematic, issue within not just the Chattahoochee Valley, but poverty reduction is something that is on a, local level. We talk about how do we work to change the way the economic drive is within our communities. Where is money being distributed? Is it equitable? Is it within neighborhoods? Is it the giving the ability for people to live beyond just, barely making it from check to check? People are able to have not just jobs, but a pathway to a career so that they're able to, again, just not just pay bills and not just survive, but to thrive and to live beyond just going to work and coming home, going to work and coming home and having nothing set aside to build. And maybe someone wants to go back to school, earn a trade, earn a certification, open up a small business, send their children to school, get their debt to income ratio under control. So when we're talking about poverty reduction, it's a multifaceted, multidimensional, complicated, complex issue, but it will also take a multidimensional collective impact, collaborative effort in order to really address it, fully understand it, and also pull together the metrics that will be needed in order to help reduce poverty.
Now, you said a lot, but you know what I heard? I heard hope. You're yes. giving people hope because it's something to work 12 hours a day, yes. and you can't afford to go to the movies.
Absolutely.
You can't afford to go on vacation. You can't afford to really enjoy yourself.
That's right.
And now that frustration has built up.
Absolutely.
And I often say this, a poor man is a frustrated man. A frustrated man makes mistakes, and mistakes get you in trouble.
And there is a direct correlation between poverty and crime.
Yes, it is.
So when people have no outlet that they can see, when they have no safety net, then what's the next best result? Now you're looking to survive, and you're not able to thrive. So when we look at the Tamarack Institute, we look at the different layers of poverty, and we see that if 5 years or less, then people are in transitional poverty. That could be something that has happened recently, where it could be a natural disaster, fire, or mm-hmm. something. A person
sickness.
Has lost their job, sickness has
right.
kicked in, domestic violence. So now you're fleeing your relationship, and you don't have a safety net. You don't have money. You're going from shelter to shelter. Then we have people who transition to chronic poverty. This is where you've been in a poverty situation where you've been deprived or impoverished for 10 years or more. So now you're living and you feel this is just how life is for me. I have no outlet.
Right.
There is hopelessness. And so what happens within that threshold of poverty? There is when you're having, families that have children. So now we go into intergenerational poverty. So those family members who've now transitioned and transformed into intergenerational poverty, the children are having children, and there is just no outlet. So there's like this vortex that continues and does not have an opening or an ending.
Wow. Just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mrs. McCrary, and we're talking about Sunday Conversation, Feeding the Valley. We're talking about poverty in our area and surrounding areas. Now, I was reading your bio. This is a light moment. I was reading your bio, and we kind of talked about it. Do you really fish for real?
Oh, I am an avid fisher. I was born and raised in rural Georgia. I learned to fish when I was 3 years old. So, yes, fishing is something that I do very well.
What's your favorite fish to catch?
I enjoy catching just freshwater fish. I do tight line fishing. So when I'm going out there, I'm fishing for the bass, the crappie, the bream. And, of course, you got to have your catfish because they're the bottom feeders in the ponds. And that's the best way to get it.
Do you know how to clean fish?
Of course I do. Again, coming from the country, you have to take the natural environment around you and appreciate the essence of life.
Okay. Light moment. Okay. Now my next question, what is the main cause of poverty in our community?
We have so many different layers to poverty because, again, it's multifaceted and it's multidimensional. So what may be an overflowing need for one person may not be an overflowing need for another person. But what we do see within our United Way 211 call center, we have a lot of people who are calling for rental assistance, mm-hmm. home support, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of people who are in need of transportation, child care support, and looking for additional resources to help with food security.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. My wife, Katasha Riley, just showed up. Are you all right, baby?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Okay, now my next question. Why are you so dedicated to the community and the outreach? Because I can see and feel your passion here. So where does that fire and that love come from for your community?
Oh, absolutely. Keeping it real is all I know, and I go back to my experience. So I'm not talking from a level of education, even though I am pursuing my doctoral degree in health sciences, but going back way before then, as a child growing up in intergenerational poverty. I myself was a product of intergenerational poverty. My mom, I was born to my mother. She had some, you know, different things and challenges in her life, and so I was raised by my mom's older sister because my mother just, you know, had some challenges in life.
Right.
So my brother and I, we were put in kinship foster care. And so my aunt was working at her job one morning and got a phone call from Child Protective Services. And when you're living in a small community, everyone knows everybody, mm-hmm. right? And so my aunt's at her textile mills job because when you're in a small community, the mills and the textile industry is kind of all we had within that that community. And so she received the phone call and a tip to say, hey, we got your niece and nephew down here at the, you know, the DFACS office. And she had not even consulted with her minister husband, who was a Baptist minister. She just dropped what she was doing, asked supervisor, could she drive down to the DFACS office, and she took custody of my brother and I. So thanks to my aunt for taking custody of my brother and I, and thanks to my uncle for also embracing my brother and I and introducing us to a way to turn our pain into purpose and passion. So I learned from my village of anointing and support and nurturing that there is a way out, and that when you speak up and use your voice to advocate for what is best, that things tend to make a great impact when you're working together.
I think most definitely when you have those type of things going on, it makes you appreciate just life in general. It makes you appreciate things even when we kind of like go to Goodwill. We think of it as the Goodwill store, not somewhere where it's hand-me-downs. Because when you have received those things throughout your life, it's an appreciation to still be able to receive good quality things. You know it's good. Sometimes people don't know when something is good because they never had it like that before.
That's true.
But when you know it's good, the quality of life is even better.
That is so true. And when I teach a class on attachment theory, a lot of times we talk about when children have reactive attachment disorder, a person cannot give what they have not received. And that's something that Dr. Karen Purvis on attachment theory talks about. And that is something that is so true. And even today, I still love Goodwill. I go to Goodwill, and they're great community partners and stakeholders. They do a lot for the community, and it's just such a wonderful thing to have them.
Wow. Now, what is considered rural in our area?
So it depends on what you look at as far as different definitions of rural. So if you're looking at the RUCA code, R-U-C-A, if you are within a certain, statistical area and you have to travel or commute to work more than a certain amount of time, we're talking over 45 minutes to an hour, then you're considered rural. And then if you look at the Metropolitan Statistical Area or MSA database, you'll see that anything that has 2,000 people, under 50,000 people is considered rural. Anything over 50,000 people is considered a metropolitan. And then if you look at small town community under the U.S. Census Bureau data, you'll see that certain communities could be called a small town if they have 5,000 to 9,000 people.
Oh, wow. That's good information.
5,000 to 9,000 people. Yeah.
That is great information. Now, how many counties do you cover and exactly what is your job responsibility?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So here in the Chattahoochee Valley with the Poverty Reduction Coalition, we are responsible for providing poverty reduction support to 10 counties in the Chattahoochee Valley, with Russell County, Alabama, being our only Alabama county, but the rest of our counties are here in Georgia.
Oh, wow. Now, what does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day is hitting the ground running because I believe in community outreach and social work. So when I get my day started, I'll be honest, I like to give thanks and honor to my higher power, because I wouldn't be here today without my higher power.
Amen.
Amen.
And I understand that I came from a hard place, but I'm thankful that I'm not still there. And because of the ability and the resilience and the drive and the determination that was placed within my spirit, I've been able to be a vessel and a light and a beacon of hope to connect on a higher level, to bring people together, to have those bigger conversations, to talk about how can we resolve and solve the issues and grand challenges that are within our valley.
Outstanding.
So I go to bed thinking and I wake up thinking.
That's what I'm talking about. But it sounds like to me you really love your job and really appreciate your job.
I definitely love and appreciate my job. We have an amazing CEO and president at the United Way of Chattahoochee Valley. His name is Mr. Ben Moser, and he definitely helps us to see the bigger picture and to bring that collective approach together, because we understand that there is value in working together and there is power and impact in working together.
Now, I was reading your bio, and you know, according to your bio, what you say is what I say. What is your saying? What is that thing
so
about?
So there is an old adage. Mm-hmm. If you want to go fast, you go alone. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go far, you go together.
I say the same thing. I'm military, so teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes.
Amen. Now, what is the ultimate goal for you with your program?
So, of course, our overall goal is to reduce poverty in the Chattahoochee Valley by 50% over the next 10 years. So we're still in phase one, because we understand we want to make sure we have the right facts, the right data, the right evidence-based information and programs that can help us to assess the needs of our community. So we're assessing our community needs from a mixed methods. That means we're having focus groups and roundtables and coffee chats, so we can understand what the community feels is important and critical for us to add to the table for topics and strategic planning. And then we're looking at quantitative analysis. We're going out and we're conducting surveys. So we're pulling together some research to understand the root cause analysis. What is the underlying factor that is causing poverty within our region and throughout the Chattahoochee Valley?
Outstanding. Now, has the poverty line increased more over the years, or has it decreased in our community?
It will depend on which metrics you're looking at, because when COVID-19 was prevalent, mm-hmm. then we understand that a lot of systems, they did shut down. So reporting changed in some capacities. And then also, once the U.S. Census Bureau went to a new database, that means in 2020, going into 2021, some of that data also looked different. So what I can say from what I've seen within our trends is that our poverty universe here in the Chattahoochee Valley is within 22%. So we have about 38,000 to 42,000 people in the Chattahoochee Valley within that poverty universe.
Oh, outstanding. Now, again, I was reading your bio. We have two things in common, our saying, and one of my favorite books is Who Moved My Cheese? But there has another, we're reading a book in church called Who Moved My Ladder. I don't know if you ever heard of
I've
that.
I've never heard of that. I need to get that.
It's called Who
resource.
Moved My Ladder. Yeah, it's the same author about who wrote Who Moved My Cheese. So tell me, why do you like Who Moved My Cheese so much? It's a great book, listen, audience. Check it out.
Absolutely. And when I first read Who Moved My Cheese, I thought about myself just being Hall. For those who've not looked at the book, him and Hall, right? But then I had to go back and do some self-reflecting, and I realized I was all of those at any given point throughout my knowledge growing, throughout my understanding, throughout life and different experiences. Sometimes I understood, hey, it's time to go. I have to elevate, and I have to, you know, remove myself from situations. So there were times when I didn't realize, and I needed that additional, you know, push to see that in order to, you know, elevate and go to the next level, I have to be able to remove myself and to be able to move into something better, to a higher calling.
Awesome. Just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mrs. McCrary.
Yes.
Ms. McCrary. And today's Sunday Conversation is called Feeding the Valley. Now, what is a certified peer specialist?
So a certified peer specialist is sponsored through the Georgia Mental Health Consumer Network. And this is a program that is funded through DBHDD. And it supports those citizens and individuals who have lived experiences. So this is beyond the knowledge base of educational matriculation. This is, you are the evidence because you have the experience or the lived practice that has went through something in that capacity. So I am a certified peer specialist with a concentration in mental health because I am a person who has firsthand experience of living with a mother who was battling or living with mental health disorder and disparities.
Oh, wow. Now, I really want you to go into detail in depth about this Lifetime movie, One Night, because that was based off of you.
Yes. So the movie
that
for
is
One
so
Night.
Impressive.
Yes. So the movie.
Now I need to go into detail. I'm
okay.
sorry.
No,
I don't mean
okay.
to keep interrupting you, but I really need you going. I really want you to drive this home because, you know, not too many people in our local area have experienced what you have experienced. But go ahead.
Absolutely. And I'd be honored to give you some more insight. So as a teenager, growing up in a small community, I was really ambitious and driven. I was the junior beta president in middle school, and then I became the beta president in high school. I was actually nominated for Most Likely to Succeed. So everything that I touched, I wanted to make sure it was some type of way to improve my life and my environment, because I did believe in the, you know, the adage that you change your thought process and you can change your world. And I took Peel's quote, and that lived within me. And the beta motto is, let us lead by serving others. So I knew I wanted to be elected class president, but I didn't realize I was going to be class president of just the black class. And so once that epiphany and that rude awakening came to light, I realized that you have to stand for what is right even when you're standing alone. And so when I know that I was on the right side of history and on the right side of ethics, I understood that I can talk to my class about this because we have a good working relationship. I'm a person that operates with integrity and ethics, and I do believe in fidelity and transparency. And so leading our class to understand that we had to do the right thing. It was overdue for us to join together to have an integrated system and an integrated prom. And that's pretty much what I proposed to our class. And it, you know, definitely was something that we collectively decided to do upon my initiation of pulling the class together to say, hey, we can do this. I typed up a letter. I sent it out to everybody. I took my lunch break and I was posting the letter all around the campus and, you know, just telling my friends to tell a friend to tell a friend and to tell other peers and classmates so we can come together to have this meeting to talk about this bigger discussion of integrating our prom. And finally, we were able to do so. And when we did, the story made national headline news and then international headline news.
Oh, great.
I remember that. And so you that person.
Yes.
That is outstanding.
The Brianna McAllister that was played by Raven Simone. Yes.
That is amazing.
Yeah, like he fixing to ask you for some ID. But that's great. That's
no, awesome. That is great. Now, in closing, is there anything that you would like to drive home that maybe we didn't cover during our conversation?
I think that this was an amazing conversation. It has given me an overflow of, empowerment to be here today. So I thank you both for allowing me the opportunity to use my voice on your platform, because I feel that the community can definitely value understanding and hearing the unity and the evidence, and understanding that I'm here today coming from a place of connection. I've lived in poverty. I understand what it feels like, smells like, tastes like, going sometimes without meals, seeing my parent with a mental health disparity and flipping out and not having accurate or adequate medical care or mental health support or the resources to wrap around at that time. And then being a child in and out of different school systems and having to try to keep your composure and keep your mind together while also trying to process all of the dysfunction and chaos around you. So I'm not here coming from a high heel platform. I'm coming from a real place of transgression. But I've used my pain and turned it into purpose so that I can help others to develop enlightenment and empowerment so that we can build resiliency and we're able to grow out of our situation so we can turn our mess into a great message.
Man, that is amazing. Now, I'm sorry, in closing again, is there some way people can reach the United Way? Is there a number?
Oh, absolutely. United Way of the Chattahoochee Valley is here with a lot of amazing initiatives. We are here to promote economic mobility. We're here to promote educational equity, and we're here to promote healthcare accessibility. So we always want to help people to know that you can call us at 211 Call Center. That is like our starting point for social service outreach resources, and we're able to get them connected to different resources throughout the Chattahoochee Valley. And then we do have some amazing vice presidents who are working together. We're like the team of support, because we have to support one another to make that collective impact. So the amazing work that we do, we're led by Ben Moser, our CEO and president. And then we have Jennifer St. John. She's our VP of Impact. And then we have Chandra Wright. And then we have Pat Frey for Home for Good. She's our vice president there. And then we have Pam Romero. She's our vice president of Community Schools United. And so all of us together just come together to really have that bigger conversation to see how we can support the Chattahoochee Valley with working to reduce poverty and to solve these burdensome conditions and health disparities the United Way.
Outstanding. This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace.
Bye, y'all.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.